I guess what my question is just that the house, you know, it's an old stone house. Things happen there, and it has its own personality in a way. So it was like a dream space.
I mean, it was. I mean,
she physical once, extension of her dream space.
She had sublet the house, and these sort of hippie types had been in the house and destroyed everything at one point. And it was a great tragedy for her. That was a fairly early event. And at a time,
she talked to it like it was an act of violence. I mean, it was, absolutely.
It was incomprehensible. But her, Carolee's a person who lived magically. What that means is everything was meaningful, everything spoke to her. The cats spoke to her, the environment spoke to her. She lived in an interactive way. I have a word for it, I call it eco-proprioception, which is sensing things as though they were your own body that are around you. And she read everything as an extension of the of body awareness in some kind of way. And that's one of the things that we shared. I do body work as a kind of subcategory of what I do based on what I call axial theory and practice. 50 years of Tai Chi are behind that. And I worked on Carolee a great deal. Over the years, I mean, it was one of the bonds between us. We talked about medical things, health things. That was a big part of our conversation. Some of it in correspondence, but most of it in person or on the phone or whatever she needed something. She would ask me to help her find out, you know, what works. And the Gerson thing, that was just a coincidence that we were publishing Gerson and she was doing that kind of thing. But we turned her on to whatever we knew about. And the body work thing was very important because, I mean, there are pictures. I was doing body work to her up until a couple of years before she passed when I had the opportunity. Even at the Stephen Hall house, the architect Stephen Hall's given her
a tea space.
A tea space.
She had an exhibit there.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was a friend in common of all of ours. And while we were at that event, I mean, she was in a lot of discomfort, so I'd take her aside and work on her, you know, and do this kind of work. And that principle was a principle that she was interested in, as I was, in terms of the whole picture. In other words, there was not a separation between art, the theory of art, how art worked politically and historically, and the way in which you performed it. Just today, I read again a piece that we had a piece together in this PAJ on performance drawing. I have a piece on axial drawing in here, and she has drawing as a Venus or a Venus system. In which she tries to talk, and the issue she talks about, interesting, I don't think I quite remembered this, but she talks about how you, in drawing, which she was specifically talking about, of course, her great piece, Water Light and Water Needle, mm-hmm. The way that you had to learn to balance yourself and to get feedback from the body's balance and weight as you would make these events happen. That was a kind of drawing, but also that the drawing that she did ahead of time would kind of embody the principle of the work as she worked. I'm a little bit translating it into my language when I say this, but my piece is all about the axial principle, which is simply, in the simplest terms, that everything has an axis. And when you're in your axis and surrender to your axis and not into your body's muscular or otherwise supported intent, you're leaning on the table, I lean on the table, we all do. But then there's a moment where you discover, and you might cultivate the discovery, that when you're centered on that space, your body is actually, that's the true free moment.
Huh.
By not fighting gravity or using your body to impede gravity, you are freer, more flexible, and have more power.
Uh-huh.
That's what Tai Chi is based on, this insight. We shared that understanding of things. And these are all axial drawings, these big ones on the wall here.
Are they yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were all done by coming from that center and cultivating the awareness that arises out of that.
Mm.
And so that happens in body work, and it happens in that work. It happens in the language that I write. It happens in the music that I play. There's one principle for all of it, but it comes out differently and is done differently. She was such an artist. Carolee and I understood each other to be artists who had an insight that would take many forms in your life. But it was always this integrity of knowing that you had to stick with that and had to come from that, that you didn't do things to accommodate the taste of the environment, the taste of critics, the taste of curators, the taste of historians that would therefore classify you this one way or another. Because she had this experience, if you look at her earliest paintings, these are magnificent artworks, pure and simple, done when she's like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And that becomes the aesthetic of her whole life. That was not done in imitation of abstract expressionism. It was done as an embodiment of its principle. Mm-hmm. So when she's in this big discussion with Clayton Eshelman in there, which I knew Clayton is almost as early as she did. She knew him actually before in the 60s in London, but I knew him from the late 60s also. And I knew this whole period, and we all were into psychedelics together and all of that at a certain point. And Clayton is interpreting her, laying his trip on her about things that she's doing, and she's coming back full force and saying, "You're not getting it. You're looking at things as though this was your work, and therefore your interpretive values work in that way. But you're missing the whole point. You're not seeing. You say the body slimes. I say the body embodies its energy and love of the activity. When she's doing these crazy things that you wonder, how could anybody do quite that with that chicken next to you? She's saying you're in a state of awareness that is consistent with this awakened value that you've discovered through the artwork and through your own imagination, your own participation in that. So the drawing is a preemptive moment of embodying that insight. And she'd say, I would sometimes draw with my eyes closed, and I would discover what this work was trying to tell me. So she's working by this feedback from the environment all the time, and from the work, and from the actual feeling of the body in that instance. And so it's all feedback. So when she got to the health issues, she wanted to work with that principle. And it kept her alive for another 20 years, even though they warned her that she might not live a few years initially if she didn't do all the nasty things that they wanted to do to her. And she didn't want to. Eventually, she had to surrender to more and more of that because she was in terrible pain. But she did win for a number of years. And it's just that the kind of method that you develop for that kind of treatment is extremely difficult to maintain the integrity of that over years. So she would go back to eating the things that she, eventually when she'd get well, and then she would go back to her normal life. And it wouldn't be quite enough or something. Nobody knows. Nobody will ever be able to say exactly at what point the principle broke down on the health level for her. But integrity was at the heart of it all. What is so remarkable about her letters and was any interaction I ever had with her was that if you say something, she would give you the absolute honest response. It could be very sharp. It could be very powerfully focused on just that moment. But she didn't accommodate, you know. She was generous in that she wouldn't say things to hurt people, or she might hold back if she felt that the issue was that they couldn't handle what she was saying. But if it's someone like Eshelman, who's aggressive in his thinking, and there's you don't get away with it.